This morning we're starting a new series, 4-week series leading up to Christmas this year, and it's called The Gifts of Christmas. And you know, each year we light the Advent candles, and each year, you know, each Advent candle represents a different aspect of our worship and praise to God in the Christmas season, different aspects of Jesus, hope, joy, peace, joy, love, and at the center of it all is Jesus. And this year we're going to look at each one of those candles, or each week we have the candle lit, we're going to look at the gift that is around that candle. Today, it's the gift or the promise of hope. Hope. And we've been singing about that this morning. You know, when I think back to when I was a kid, I remember waking up on Christmas morn. And I could hardly wait for the rest of the family to get up so that we could head downstairs into the family room where all the gifts had been abundantly placed under the tree each year. Anybody have that kind of vivid remembrance? Yeah, I think we all have that kind of remembrance. And you know, the writing out of all of our Christmas wish lists and the hoping for things that we really wanted were now all behind us, and Christmas morning was here. I remember that well. I remember the sheer joy and delight when I opened the presents and discovered all the things that I had really wanted were right now there in my grasp. Oh, do you remember that as kids? Oh, the joy that you had when you opened it. Oh, yeah, I really wanted this. But then there were other things when you opened them up. All of a sudden, it was like, oh, the feeling of letdown and disappointment. When the gifts that I opened up were just another pair of pajamas and worst, socks. No, not to say that you know, those weren't needed gifts or useful gifts, but they just weren't as exciting or as shiny as the new toys or the things that I'd really, really hoped for. Now don't get me wrong, I was grateful for every gift that I received, and I'm sure all of us were, but not every gift that we receive with as much joy, right? But you know, that as I remember back on my childhood Christmases, I understand now, I think, a little bit better what the writer of Proverbs is getting at when he writes these words in Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Consider that this morning as we look through this story that I read for you a few moments ago. You know, as I've been reflecting on the story that I read from the scriptures this morning, I can't help but think what it would have been like for Simeon and for Anna, year after year, hoping and waiting for the coming of Messiah. What would it have been like for them? According to Luke chapter 2, verses 25 to 26, Simeon was a devout and righteous man who lived in Jerusalem. Now we're told two very important things about this man Simeon. The first is that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting, hoping for the consolation of Israel. Now what does that mean? What was the consolation of Israel? Well, according to one of the online sources that I consulted as putting this message together, the consolation of Israel was likened to the promise of the Messiah. The promise of the Messiah. And this is what I read this week. To console is to alleviate grief or to take away a sense of loss or trouble. The Messiah, the consolation of Israel, was to remove sorrow and comfort the nation. Simeon and generations before him waited for the coming of the one who would console God's people. Isaiah predicted that the Messiah would take on the ministry of consolation. Comfort. Comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for. It's right out of Isaiah chapter 40. Consolation. Consolation. This is what was on Simeon's wish list as he waited for the advent of the Messiah. You know, when we go through times of desolation, times of difficulty, times of struggle, what is it that we long for? We long for deliverance. We long for something to come along or some circumstance to happen that would take us from desolation to consolation. Something that would renew our spirits, make us feel like we're experiencing joy again in the midst of difficulty and struggle. Sometimes, in the midst of that desolation, that darkness, that feeling of, we're given a promise, we're given a hint of something, and sometimes the fact that we're given this, it doesn't bring instant joy, but it actually intensifies what we're the struggle for the moment. And for Simeon, to make his waiting and hoping even more intensified, we're told by Luke that the Holy Spirit was on Simeon and that the Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. You know, in the midst of all this dark, you know, it was kind of like Noah, right? Back it went in the time of the increasing sin all around, God said, you know, that you know, you're to build this ark, and it took him a long time to build the ark, but it just kept getting darker and darker and darker. He knew that there was a promise for deliverance, but you know, it was a long way off. And this is what it was like for Simeon. He had received from God the personal assurance that in his lifetime he would see the fulfillment of all that he and generations before him had hoped for and longed for. But it just wasn't happening. What would it be like to receive the promise that you're going to, you know, everything's going to be okay, everything's going to get brighter in your lifetime, but you're getting older. We're getting older, and it just hasn't happened yet. Well, when is it going to happen, Lord? When are you going to fulfill your promises to us? And when we're in desolation or a time of darkness, it's hard. It's hard to keep focused on the consolation that's coming. And that was what Simeon was experiencing. He had received the promise, but it was hard to wait. God revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he had beheld the Lord's Christ, the comforter of Israel, who would fulfill all the promises of the Abrahamic and Davidic covenants, the one who would bring both personal and national salvation. All of those years of waiting and praying for the consolation of Israel, God would allow Simeon to hold in his arms the Messiah. In this child, Simeon would see the fulfillment of all the hopes and dreams of the Jewish people down through the centuries. And he was overjoyed when finally the Spirit of God moved him into the temple courts that day, and he was able to hold in his arms the baby Jesus. You know what this reveals to us, this passage this morning reveals? That God's commitment to keeping his promises, reinforcing trust in his divine faithfulness. It also, Simeon's patient anticipation demonstrates the importance of hopeful waiting for God's timing. When we're going through times of desolation, waiting for consolation, Simeon exemplifies profound trust in God's word, remaining steadfast until the promise is fulfilled. The only question that remains is, when will that promise be fulfilled? When and how and where? Faith. God's faithfulness. Trusting God's faithfulness. Having patient hope, having a deep trust in God's word. These are the qualities that Simeon exemplified. And according to Luke 2, 27 to 36, God fulfilled his promise to Simeon in a very dramatic way. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to him, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, you have promised, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your soul." You know, as old as Simeon was, this gift of hope wrapped in the baby Jesus brought about a new vision, new empowerment, and revitalization to his soul. As Simeon held Jesus in his arms, his heart was full of gratitude toward God for his unspeakable gift. And he burst out into a prophetic song of praise. He knew that this child was destined to accomplish great things, and his longing fulfilled was like eating from the fruit of the tree of life. Simeon was overjoyed. Overjoyed to be holding in his arms the gift of God, the Messiah, the promises of God now fulfilled. But he also felt in that moment, in his spirit, the anguish and suffering that this child would endure. And he spoke a word of prophetic warning to Jesus' parents. Simeon warns of a future sorrow, a foreshadowing, the far-reaching impact, and the division that this child would bring. And you know, as we were singing today, worshiping God this morning, a lot of the songs that were chosen today were specifically chosen to indicate that the hope that we have is in Jesus. But the hope that we have was not just in a little baby, Jesus born in the manger and brought into the temple to be held by Simeon. No, the hope that we have was not just that little baby as a baby, but it was the hope that we have in what Jesus came to do. He came to suffer and die on the cross of Calvary. He came to take your sins and my sins on himself so that we could be redeemed from our desolation and brought into the consolation of new life. This was the prophetic warning that Simeon brought to his parents. That, you know what? This little child is going to grow up. He's going to suffer. He's going to die. And that's, you know, that spear that goes into his side on the cross will be like a piercing blow to you, Mary, his mother. Sword will pierce your own soul. You know, throughout their history, the people of Israel had suffered greatly. They lived under slavery in Egypt and endured decades of exile. They were currently laboring under the rule of Rome, and they were a people in desperate need of consolation and comfort. Many in Israel thought that the Messiah, the consolation of Israel, would bring them political and national freedom. But the consolation that Jesus brought was better than any political freedom he could have provided. He gave them spiritual freedom and forgiveness of sin. David had described the guilt of his own sin this way: "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I'm bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. I'm feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in the anguish of my heart." Has anybody ever felt that way about your state before God? The weight and the burden of your sinfulness, the weight and the burden of your falling shortness before God. This David was expressing that. That's the desolation that sin brings in our life. But the consolation is that the Son of David, the Messiah, came to bear the burden away, to lift up those who were bowed down, to replace the anguish with joy. All who trust in him know that he is truly the consolation of Israel and the consolation of all who believe. See, this is the essence of the hope that we have in Jesus. This is what the Apostle Paul speaks about in Romans chapter 5 verses 1 to 5 when he says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. This is the source of our hope. Jesus is the source of our hope. You know, just as the Spirit of God was on Simeon, so God's love has been poured out into our hearts through our faith in Jesus Christ. When we receive Christ as our consolation and peace, the fulfillment of our longing and of our hope, we too will experience an infusion of life in and through the Holy Spirit of God. You know, the life that the prophet Isaiah, this is the life that the prophet Isaiah speaks of in Isaiah 40, 31, where he says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Isn't that great? You know, isn't that great to know that we have a source of strength, a source of peace? That our desolation is not one that will continue on and on and on and on, but we will be brought from desolation to consolation, that we will be renewed in our spirits on a personal level, and I would say on a corporate level as a church, as the church as well. Because we are the body of Christ. Jesus has consolation for us as a church body. As we put our hope in the Lord together. For our hope fulfilled in Christ is like a river of life bubbling and springing up inside of us. So much so that we cannot contain our joy. And this is where we go next in this story. Because in Luke chapter 2, verses 36 to 38, we're introduced to another person who was present in the temple courts that day when Jesus' parents came to present him to the Lord. And this person was the prophetess Anna, who exemplifies the consolation. When the consolation comes, what that brings to us: a bubbling over joy that cannot be stopped. For there was, we're told, also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. I want you to take note of something before I go on in this message. Take note. How old was Simeon? Well, we're not told how old he was, but we're told he was an old, old man. Okay? And we're told here that Anna was very old. Okay? She was old. And what do we notice about Simeon? He was filled with the Spirit. He was guided by the Spirit. And what are we told about Anna? She was a prophetess. She was a prophet. She was filled with the Spirit and spoke in the Spirit. So just a little word of encouragement to us. We may, you know, some of us may feel real old in the church. But God still has a mission for every single one of us. Because that, as that, I didn't get the connection today, but I just got it right now. That little vignette that we had during the offering there about the church. Every single one of us is the church. No matter how old you may think you are and what you cannot do. Look at Anna. Every day she fasted and she prayed and she came into the temple that day. And when she held Jesus in her, she was just filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of joy. And she couldn't stop talking about him. We're never too old to be filled with the Spirit and to keep talking about Jesus. That's just an aside today, people. But Anna, like Simeon, may have been very old, but they had been waiting, longing, hoping, worshiping, and praying for this day to come. And now that the Messiah was here, they couldn't stop rejoicing at the fulfillment of God's promises. She couldn't stop praising God. She couldn't stop telling everyone that this was the one, this child was the son of the promise who would bring about the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna, like Simeon, was filled to overflowing with the joy that comes when hope has been deferred, that has been deferred, has now been realized. And Anna, like Simeon, was filled to overflowing. And she just wanted to tell everyone what they had longed for, prayed for day and night. It was now right here before them. This little baby boy was the hope of the nation Israel. And not just of Israel, but all the world. You know, as we consider Anna this morning, she's an inspiration for us, for each one of us today. And Anna's faithfulness inspires us to worship, to give thanks to God, to share God's gifts actively of our own, in our own lives, no matter how young or how old we may be. You know, a few years ago, not too long ago, a song was written by Brian Dirksen. It was a beautiful song, praise to Jesus, who is our living hope. It's called Hope, the Hope of the Nations. Jesus, Hope of the Nations. And I think it just really expresses, I think, the joy that Anna was feeling. What she inspires within each one of us is to just acknowledge Jesus as the hope of the nation. Listen to the words of this song, okay? Listen to these words. Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. For you rose from the dead, conquering fear. our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we believe. We believe. Wow. You know, today's message has been all about the joy of hope fulfilled. A reminder to us that no matter how difficult the circumstances of life may be, no matter how deep or how many the heartaches we experience, no matter how rocky the road ahead may look, there is hope in Jesus. For he is the source of heaven's hope on earth. So I ask you today, what do you want for Christmas this year? You know, as you put together your wish list for Christmas this year, I want you to remember something from this message today. Remember that whatever the longing of your heart maybe there's hope in Jesus. Whatever you've been praying for a long time, might be health, might be finances, whatever it is, there's hope in Jesus. And whoever you've been praying for, I know that there are a lot of people here this morning who've been praying for loved ones, praying a long time that God would continue to bring about transformation, change in people's lives. You know, whoever it is that you've been praying for, remember, there's hope in Jesus. He is the source of heaven's hope. So as we close today, my prayer, the prayer of my heart for you is from Psalm 20, verses 1 to 9. And I've just paraphrased it here. Three important things. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May he give you the desire of your heart. And may the Lord grant all your requests. As you put your hope and your faith and your confidence and your trust in him to deliver his consolation for you. And may the promise of hope, the abiding presence and peace of Christ be your source of joy today.